G'day, punters. Welcome to a very special Caulfield Cup preview. It is myself, Pistol Pete, joined by Drew, the international form expert here at the Mailbag, and we're going to run through all the international runners in the Caulfield Cup just to try and give us a bit of a leg up because for a layperson like myself, Drew, looking at this race, it's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, Pete, welcome. And I love this race each year. It's a challenge. Half the time internationals win, half times it's the locals. Jamaica was obviously just a prime example of the locals just being so well weighted through different races. This year we've got the Kingswood Dream. Can we call him a local, do you reckon?
Oh,
Weary?
he's a local now.
Yeah,
He's been here long enough.
you look at the horse and you look how well weighted it is and you go, oof, gonna have to be some really good internationals to win here.
And oh, I'm not going to get too far ahead of our little preview, but I'm guessing there probably is.
There are a few that can definitely test the likes of Youngstar and Kingswood Dream, I would suggest. And I would say that that's why we've got a competitive field, $5 or longer.
All right, well, we'll start at the top of the list. We've got Best Solution for Saeed Bin Sarur and Godolphin to be ridden by Pat Cosgrave.
I know you're
$14.
keen to get into it, Petey, but I reckon we look at the speed first just quickly, because I think this is the most important part, especially for international runners who some of them are used to really slow tempos, some are used to really strong tempos, and you get that through their time form ratings, I'd say. I'd just quickly mention and say I'm really confused with how the speed's going to be run here. So we always look to the Williams stable to see what their intention is because they're the ones likely to pace make in the race with one of their three chances. And riding tactics announced for the Taj Mahal. Open instructions, dependent on circumstances, may not necessarily go forward. So that just leaves it wide open. I look at the speed map and I go, Holmesman to lead, Jon Snow's going to be forward, Ace High's going to be forward, and Taj Mahal should potentially be forward. And I would expect Best Solution will be rolling forward if fast out of the barriers and will take a position on speed if possible.
I would say, given that there's, I guess, a few of those on-speed horses drawn out wide, I mean, they've really got only one of two options, don't they? And I guess, given the fact that there is so many of them out there, you have to probably err on the side that it will be fast.
Yeah, look, I keep looking at Holmesman's time. So everyone's suggesting Holmesman's a leader here, right? And the horse only has really only gone around benchmark the last couple of times it's gone around. So it hasn't pushed a breakneck speed. And I don't think Benny Mellon's going to be wanting to push the tempo here. So I just find it really interesting. And you may have horses back in the field that are just absolutely no chance.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, so we'll roll straight into it. You've already introduced my old mate Best Solution. This was a feature horse for us back in July after it won at Newmarket. So I've had my eyes on this. I'm a bit biased here, so take that into account when I talk to you about it. But I'm on at 61s. This is a versatile type. I expect it to roll forward from the barrier. I've had my eye on it, obviously, since that Newmarket Group 2 win. It beat some really handy types. I was actually on something else in the race, and it absolutely just put them away. Beat some really handy types in Mirage Dancer and Soundcheck. At that stage, its time form rating was significant enough to justify it would get into the race, but would be really well weighted. So I was very happy with that to say, okay, previous winners have been able to win with that weight and that rating. So I was pretty happy to get on at 61s. It's then gone on and won two Group 1s in Germany, gone from 117 time form rating to 119, then to 125. So it's absolutely destroyed its own ratings. It's now got a really high weight. And I'm actually not against that for the horse. I think it's extremely well weighted considering its time form rating. Like if I look at the winners of the past, like Dunedin, I think it's actually quite well in. Others will disagree, but that's a great game. So overall, I think on the horse's ability, it keeps on keeping on. It's got a sensational final 800, and it just will keep going and going and going. Tell you what, Matty Hill will be calling everything else coming. This thing will just keep on fighting and keep on fighting. It'll be there to the finish.
All right, got to throw it in then. Leading contender for the internationals.
Yep.
All right, number two, the Cliffs of Moher, or Moher, depending on how
So
you pronounce
this is the
it.
most interesting runner, I would say, when you consider it's been extremely well backed. You've got the potential pacemakers from the Williams stable, and this thing is a out-and-out stayer. It does not have early speed. It is a crab out of the gates. It can be slow out. you can guarantee from the barrier, they will try and push up if possible to hold a position, but they're most likely going to get trapped on the rails. And this horse will be in the back half of the field, if not back quarter of the field, I would be suggesting. Its career peak run was 13 runs ago, but that was over 2,400 metres in the Group 1 Investec Derby, where it's run second to stablemate Wings of Eagles and beat Cracksman on that day, which is damn good form. Took a while to get back into form, but it's run a really good third to Roaring Lion and Saxon Warrior over 2,000 in the Group 1 Eclipse before it's come out here. And that run would have it, you know, contending for any Group 1 race in Australia. Those two horses, Roaring Lion would start favourite here. Saxon Warrior probably wouldn't get the 2,400, but it was a 2,000 or 1,600 metre race. It'd be starting favourite here as well. So they're the pinnacle of the form over there in UK. Now, I'm just going to put this out here, and I think this is the important part. It stormed home in the Caulfield Stakes, looked really good. It was tailed off two lengths at the 500 metre mark and stormed home and ran really well. That's a bit of a concern in this race with the horse's pattern and how it travels. And the positive for it, though, is it's untested over the Melbourne Cup trip, and this really looks like its first main goal. So people are saying, is this its goal? Is it not its goal? I think this is one of its, you know, main goals. Yeah, they want to win the Melbourne Cup, but I think this is where it's run its peak in the past. It's run two really good runs, lead-in runs that have gone near peak. So it's ready to peak here.
So what are we saying about the $7 available?
It's right about where it should be.
Okay.
I couldn't have it in double figures, but I couldn't have it much shorter than it is right now. Is it a value in the race? No, not with its racing pattern. I think if you see the speed put on extremely hard, extremely early, you can probably take a better position about it.
Sounds,
you know,
good.
So it's a watch and see for me.
The most intriguing horse in the field for me is Chestnut Coat from Japan with Yuga Kawada, who's going to take them out.
Yeah, look, I have to say, of all the international form, the Japanese is probably not my strong point. So just putting it out there, you know, I like to say my UK form's probably the best. I'm really well-rounded on the Dubai stuff, no issues with that. France, a little bit less so, but I'm getting around there. And even the Germans, I'm, you know, been trying to get into a bit more because I think that's an undervalued lead-in path, I guess, form-wise. But the Japanese, they just run their races so fast. They just got really good horses, so it's hard to get a barometer on them, so to speak. But Chestnut Coat's a really promising type. I really liked how it settled in as an international runner. It looks healthy. The other horse, I think, has come out as a stablemate just to keep it in work and to work alongside it. It won twice over 2,200 metres to 2,400 metres this year before running a close second in a Group 2. And it ran fifth in the 10-0 show, and it wasn't, you know, it was a good run. It'll settle midfield, I would expect. I think it's looking for the 3,200. That's the one problem. I think it'll appreciate a strong tempo. I think it may do what Fame Game did, where the horse has been either luckless or just had a really good run and started to find late, and it may start favouring the Melbourne Cup off a really good run.
Very good. We'll drop down to Soundcheck, who's around $26. Jordan Childs takes them out from gate 16.
I think this is one of the most underrated horses in the race. I am extremely disappointed by Barrier 16 for it. It's a horse that normally settles midfield to rear of the field and does have a tendency to lay in under pressure. So I was really hoping that it would get, you know, let's say barriers 4 to 10. That would have been ideal for it. It's going to have to sustain a run. Look, it's form lines. This horse is a completely different horse this prep. 2,000 to 2,400 is its best distances. Really solid third in the Group 3 Grossier Press One Lotto in Hamburg, and ran even better, close second behind Best Solution in the race at Berlin, which was a Group 1. It laid in that day. It was a little bit luckless. I'm not saying that it should have won the race because Best Solution was ridden against its own pattern, but it ran a really solid race, and it's 2 kilograms better off for that 0.2 lengths defeat. Maybe better off over the Melbourne Cup trip, but I think 2,400 is where the horse is showing its best form. So it's a big blowout chance here. And it, I don't think they'll back it.
Giretto, gate one for the Balding team with Dwayne Dunn taking the ride.
This is another horse that's a really interesting type. I think they've also probably undervalued this one a little bit in the markets. It's not normally fast out of the gates. It'll probably try and grab a midfield spot from barrier one. I think barrier one is a massive positive for this horse. I think it'll handle being cover, going for luck, no issues with it. It doesn't have a massive turn of foot is my one concern with the horse, so it would need to get the perfect run. But I think it's a bit of a smoky. There are some really good tipsters out there putting it up as a horse to really be following into the cups. I haven't seen much about its work, to be quite honest, so I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, but there have definitely been some bigger spruiks from other horses. In terms of his runs on the board, he's Group 2 placing in the Princess of Wales, behind Mirage Dancer and Best Solution. I did think that he was going to go past Best Solution, to be quite honest, and even Mirage Dancer. It's just he was found out probably the final 200 in a really tough staying tempo. And, look, he's improved since going up to 2,800 metres. He just travelled really well. But it's just that final bit of his race where I think he switches off a little bit. He may just be a bit of a thinker. He does corner well. His win at Chester showed me that he'll handle Caulfield. So that's a positive.
Red Vidon, Zach Purton's going to take the ride. Gate 9 for Ed Dunlop, who has been here quite a few times over the last decade.
Yeah, this is no Red Cadeau. Vetted today, that's a massive no-no in my books, no matter who the horse is. Blinkers on, has had it before, even though it's saying blinkers first time in all the form guides, so just throw that out the window. It's not going to suddenly make the horse a winner. Should settle midfield, yet to land a group class win, if that tells you about the horse. Yeah, it's run 3 seconds in group class, but it's a bit of a cat. It's a stayer. Look, it's comfortable on all surfaces, but it's won 5 times, and its last 2 wins are on synthetic. So do I want to be taking a horse in a Caulfield Cup that can't win on turf, yet it'll handle the 2,400 metres, it's a non-winner, and its form lines are just not as good as some of the others? I could chuck it in exotics, and that's about it.
Soul Impact, gate 20, another Japanese horse coming down for the 2 cups.
Yep, expect to sit on speed. Could actually, do we expect the Japanese to pace make here? This is like the interesting one of the race. Concussion plates on, massive negative, but it's an on speed runner. Could pace make for the other Japanese horse? You never know. Look, this horse is Group 2 placed. Look, it's got some okay form lines, 2,000 to 3,400. Failed to fire in the 10-0 show. I think it's out of its depth, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
And let's just jump back up to good old mate Jon Snow, who's obviously been around the traps here a few times, but he is technically an international.
Yeah, he's a good, honest plodder. I think he's an on-speed runner who just appreciates a decent tempo on, but overly fast and he'll fall out of it. 116 peak rating this prep, 117 in the past. Not good enough to win this. Can run top 10.
And you mentioned him once before. That he has been here a little while, Kings Will Dream, and the stables and quite a few punters have been backing him for quite a while as well for this race.
Yeah, look, Weir's made no secret about it. This is his number one horse in his stable right now. He's super keen that the horse will win this race. Did you see that supposedly they're going to run this horse in the Caulfield Cup, then Cox Plate, then Melbourne Cup?
I did see that tweeted out earlier today.
I had to chuck a fiver on at the 650-1 just in case. That was with Tab. They let you do it. They give you like a significantly reduced price, of course, on the multi. But I had to.
Oh, well, otherwise you've got to do it the indirect way, and you're going to feel sick about it if he wins this, and then you're going to stick it all on for the Cox Plate, and then stick it all on for the Melbourne Cup.
Well, he should have beat Winx last start if he was ready to go. I can tell you from the time form figures, he went 1-2-2 in the Memsey, which is a figure with this weight that he has today that would be winning the Caulfield Cup. So I'm putting that out there right now. If he runs to that form up to this distance, he wins. Like, that's how it sits with the weights. He went backwards after that run to run a 1-1-8 and then a 1-1-8 last start when There was a slow tempo, so that contributes a little bit overall, but they, you know, they'd backed off him. So if they have him ready here, I mean, what do they do to beat him? He's got the perfect barrier. He's got old mate Craig. Yeah, he could get Willowed. That's probably what beats him, you know? I've been a massive hater on this horse in terms of the price they bet early on him, but the form checks out. I think he is a genuine $5 or less chance in the race.
There we go. Ventura's Storm, we can't dismiss him either from the list, Drew. I know he's been one of yours that you followed a little while.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of turned a corner in the yard as well. I know Dicko's not been a massive fan. I'm pretty sure he said he walked like a crab first up, but he's been parading significantly better. There's been a bit of money for it as well. So when you look at the flux, he's been, you know, close to 40s into 31s, I'm pretty sure. So he's had a little bit of money for him. His best runs are actually good enough to be competitive here. So, look, Barry 11's not that bad. He's a get-back type anyway, midfield or get-back, depending what they try and do. But he's run 118 time form rating in Australia, and his 2016 Group 1 win in Italy was 119-plus time form. So if the stable have him going well, just remember what they did with Boomtime last year. It's not an unfeasible win.
Ben Hayes actually gave Ventura Storm a really good push over here on WA radio this morning as well. So,
I mean, the one thing with that stable is if they had Jamar as the first emergency rather than second, you'd almost be going to the owners of Ventura Storm and going, look, can we chuck this horse in instead? Because I tell you what, Jamar would be right up to its eyeballs in this race off what its improvement's been in Australia.
That was the other point that he raised, was that if it can't get a start in the Caulfield Cup, it will be going through to Lexus with the sole intention of winning it and jumping into the Melbourne Cup. There is nothing else that they want to do with his horse other than get into the Cup.
I'm just pulling up my YouBet account because I made what I think was, at the time, not a great bet. But now that I look at it, it's a bloody good bet. When Jamar won at Flemington, and I knew that it was aimed at the, you know, Caulfield and Melbourne Cups, I've taken a hundreds for Jamar to win the Caulfield Cup. That'll be confetti. But I've taken hundreds for it to win the Melbourne Cup, just for $25. But you looked at it, and after I actually put that bet on, I got home, and, you know, you're just trying to do it before they move markets and everything. I've gone and looked at its international rating again and everything. I've gone, that's not the best bet I've ever seen. But I tell you what, Hayes has just improved this horse significantly, Jamar, and it'll be a cup chance.
Yeah.
Outside of those horses, just might as well touch on a few of the others. Ace High has probably been actually one of the most spruced horses this week. Blinkers On helps a horse that doesn't train in it. Look, not one of mine. I'm going to be honest on that. If it wins, I'll be losing. Taj Mahal has had a significant drift on it. 13s out to 19s. And yeah, with the stable intentions on that, you couldn't really be near it. I'm sure Dicko touched on Vengamask already. It's not the worst 126 to 1 chance I've ever seen in a Caulfield Cup. It's actually, on punting form data, got one of the best overall run ratings of the lot here. So if they run a stupid tempo, it'll be in it till the end. I'll take on Mighty Boss. Gaelic Chieftain can run a decent race, but I would probably just be opting for exotics. Young Star is Young Star. I think it's probably unders at the odds. It's, you know, but whatever happens, happens. Patrick Ewan, happy to take it on. Night's Watch, that's what I'm going to ask you about. What do you do with this horse? It's a bit of a sprue course. Do you think it's up to this?
I would want to be going through all of its runs that it's had so far this prep and seeing if it can handle a really strong early speed. Because if it does eventuate and it's a brutal early tempo, I don't think it will personally be handling the actual the ability to maintain that for 2400. I think it's, as you said, maybe a little bit more of a spruce horse. But I'd want to do a touch more homework on those brutal early speeds. But look, it's not one that I would personally be having in the top of the list.
Yeah, look, on its numbers, it would have to probably improve to realistically do what you're suggesting there. And barrier 18 doesn't help its chances. Petey, what do you like here? If you were to give your... top tips here, what would you be suggesting?
Well, look, I mean, I would love to just get a yard feed of this race and really have a good look at it in detail. The horses, obviously, Kingswell Dream. I don't mind Jon Snow. I've been kind of impressed with what he's been doing so far this prep, and I still just go back to seeing him parade at Flemington when I was there with Dicko, and just being quite impressed with how he what the sort of order he was in. I didn't mind
Okay.
the Cliffs of Moher first up.
First up.
And just in terms of how, again, it sort of paraded in the yard, managed to get a little bit of vision of that. But I'll be looking more at the first starters here. I'm really intrigued by Best Solution, Chestnut Coat, Soundcheck that you threw out, and then even Doretto. So, yeah, I want to try and get myself a yard feed at Ascot. So I'll be trying to make that happen.
Well, we'll make sure you get that. If I was to give you an order of the runners, just from my point of view, I would have Kingswell Dream as the best chance of winning the race. There's no doubt about that. I think Best Solution's the big value in the race. I'm a Chestnut Coat fan, but I can just see it having a bit of trouble, so I'd probably have it fourth in my numbers. I'm really tossing up between, sorry, I'd have it fifth in my numbers. I'm tossing up between Soundcheck and Doretto, which, who's the better chance? So realistically, when I'm playing it, I'm probably going to be playing for probably 4 to 6 runners here. It's the type of race where you can go large on Kingswell Dream and then pick a few off at 18s to 30s in the run.
And
Yeah, sorry, in the market.
as you said, it's hard to actually get an idea of any of these big punting stable or punting teams coming for one of the internationals in a big way. You'd sort of expect that if anything, they'll maybe target one of the locals and give that a smack. But again, having Kingswell Dream as everyone has on top for so long, you imagine that a lot of people have already got a fair amount of their money already invested on the horse. So we'll wait and see if that actually drifts a little bit on the day.
That's a great point. I like that you've made there, and also, it is what fourth up now. So some people see that as a negative. I actually think it's a positive. The other thing I would obviously say, which you've touched on, is I want Dicko's yard report on this, because if he has Doretto or Soundcheck as standouts or Best Solution, I'm just going even harder, because his international form lines, when they've matched up with what I've wanted to back, I've just been cleaning up recently. So if he finds them on top, look at the Melbourne Cup last year. Who do you find on top?
Oh, I can't remember who
Rickingley.
won
The
that. Yeah.
winner, Rickingley.
I can't remember because I think the amount that we all won from that horse, Drew, was enough to put me into a basically a coma state for the next 3 weeks, I think. So,
Tell you, it was a brilliant night at Kiddens after that.
oh.
Okay, Feedy, well, thanks very much. Looking forward to it. One of the best days on the carnival, and then straight into Cox Plate next week. We do it all again, and you'll
Yep,
be down.
I will. I'll be there. I'll be in like Flint for the Cox Plate, so can't wait.
Perfect. Thanks, mate. Go well.
Go well, Jersey.